There's a lot going on in the NFL, which is what you would expect. And today, the big story likely should be that Tua has taken over as the quarterback down in Miami, which I'm excited for. They're 3-3. They got a chance to win that division, certainly make the playoffs in a tough AFC. I think the Bills kind of getting blown up. It wasn't that bad, but they were chasing the game all night. And that's 2 weeks in a row. Pretty ugly. That's a big story. But whenever you get the Dallas Cowboys acting like the Dallas Cowboys and players carving the coaching staff through the media, it's always going to take top billing. And to get into it, we're joined now by former Dallas Cowboy, longtime NFLer from FS1, Marcellus Wiley. What is going on with your team? What is up down in Dallas?
Oh, man. I wish their performance was up. I wish that their production was up. But unfortunately, it's the same old Cowboys where you see an uberly talented bunch once again finding themselves under the microscope and underperforming. So I'm not a fan of taking shots at coaching staff and the media, unless you're going to put your name on it and your number, as coach would say, unless you're going to address a specific coach. I don't like that you just said, hey, we're not being fully prepared and we're not being well coached. You got to understand process. This is early in the season where the Dallas Cowboys are still in first place in that division, so they have playoff aspirations. Obviously, they're not playing optimal football, but Mike McCarthy, is he to blame? Are they being out-schemed, or are they just being outplayed? And I would challenge that they're being outplayed. I've seen too many instances of guys put in the proper position by the scheme, but not performing, running to the wrong gap, not hustling on plays, not having gap discipline, things of that nature. Ezekiel Elliott, his regression and putting the ball on the ground. Coaches can only coach you so much, and then it's on you, the player, to use your talent or use your intangibles to make sure you get the job done. So I think it's a scapegoat to put it on these coaches. Mike McCarthy turned around Green Bay. They were 4-12, 8-8 his first year after he inherits a 4-12 bunch. And then the next year, they're 13-3, and they're in the NFC Championship game. I don't know if that process is going to happen in Dallas, but blaming these coaches is not the way to get it done.
Well, and you know the way this is going to play out. Like, the next time McCarthy speaks with the media, the first question is going to be, how do you respond to the report? And he's either going to say, I've got nothing to say, or he's going to pretend like he didn't see it, which no one believes. But what about internally? You know, that's the elephant in the room. Like, do you expect McCarthy to address the bunch? What does he say to the team? Does he let this blow over? What does McCarthy do for the rest of the week?
Yeah, every coach I play for, if this would occur, they just get in front of the team. They say, look, don't be a punk. I mean, they get direct because they feel offended. You got to think, when you don't say a coach's name or a specific coach, the ownership, the general public at large, thinks it's all of the coaches. So you're like, look, don't be a punk. Which one of you guys said it, and who are you talking about? And I won't let you leave this room until I hear it. And then, you know, you're going to hear all the guys looking around, you know, talking under their breath. No one wants to step up. And then you say, look, if you're not going to be man enough in this moment to own up to it, how can I trust you're going to be man enough on that field to do what's called of you as well? I don't think anybody's going to tell on each other. I don't think anyone's going to step up in that moment, but it sets the tone. Like, look, I need personal responsibility, including the personal responsibility I'll take to make sure that this thing gets corrected. But let's understand and keep perspective. This is a season that we can still accomplish our goals. As ugly as it looks, as crazy as it sounds, we can still do what we need to do, get in the playoffs and give ourselves a chance at the dance. But it won't happen if we have infighting and friendly fire. So a lot of personal responsibility has to be shared with this group so they can get on the right course.
Marcellus, we were chatting before you came on about the biggest insult a coach can hear, the hardest thing to hear, is that a team is disorganized. From a football standpoint, does it look like a disorganized team to you?
It doesn't to me. It looks like it's almost a perfect storm in terms of issues that have occurred. Okay, so you lose your starting quarterback. Check. then you lose really the same production that you anticipated and expected from your star running back that your team was designed to perform around. Let Zeke eat is a real thing. Check. The offensive line, what do they have? 3-4 new starters now because Zach Martin had a concussion. So you're not the same offensive line that was maybe the best offensive line we saw in the league for the last few years. Check. The defense, we know how bad they've been performing. But they've been compromised as well because the offense has committed 15 turnovers. And they've given up 84 points off of those 15 turnovers. Where last year in 16 games, they only gave up 45 points. So you're putting the defense in impossible situations. But I make no excuses for them. They're not performing up to billing. But look at those issues. It's not one thing. The Dallas Cowboys have still scored 40 points, 38 points, 37 points, 31 points. They've been in ball games, and they're certainly productive on offense when Dak Prescott was under center. So I just think it's a myriad of reasons, and you really can't hone in on just one. But that said, coaching comes into play as well, but the lack of effort, the lack of intensity, the lack of sense of urgency is really some issues that I don't think the players are looking in the mirror and being honest about their part in that problem.
With Marcellus Wiley from FS1, former Cowboy, also former Buffalo Bill. So let's leapfrog over to another one of your former teams who were performing last night, and it didn't look good. They got manhandled by Kansas City. And, you know, that wasn't about Mahomes going off last night. That was about the trenches. That was about a Kansas City offensive line that's working through their own injury problems, a rookie running back who just smacked him in the face, and Josh Allen, for the second week in a row, you know, his numbers weren't as good as they have been earlier in the season. So do you chalk the Bills' last two losses up to the competition, Tennessee and Kansas City, or are you seeing some issues with your former team here that should lead to some concerns in Western New York?
I think a little column A and column B. Let's be real. You're playing the two teams that were in the AFC Championship game last year, so you're really playing against the top teams. That said, you have to also look at the fact that when you're playing Kansas City, no matter what you think in the moment, in your mind, you're really concerned with their passing game. So the easiest thing to do to run over any player, to get any player off balance, to make a defense react slowly, is to have them think. And what happens is when you get out there, you're so prepared for this passing game because of the fear you have of their quarterback. And then they just pound you right through the gut, right through the middle, right in your face. I mean, they really take away you in the trenches. You start to second guess, like there's no way they're going to stay so committed to this. And by the time you realize that, yo, they're about to pound us and not beat us with the passing game, it's a little too late. They've already taken a chunk of flesh. So it's a beautiful game plan if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. You can always keep a team off guard because you have so many weapons. But if I'm the Buffalo Bills, I come back into that locker room knowing that we got physically beat up, knowing that we lost in the score column, but also feeling okay that the schedule will show us relief and we could reset ourselves going forward. You're not playing Kansas City every week. You're not playing Tennessee every week. And talk about two physical teams. So going forward, no matter how much success they have, they're going to be working on how to be tougher in those trenches because the last 2 weeks showed them that mano a mano, they're not necessarily ready to handle the best of the AFC.
You've been a Tua booster since day one, and now he's getting the ball for good. I mean, he's going into a bye week, and he's coming home at home, but Aaron Donald's going to be waiting for him, as someone brought up to me via email about an hour ago. He's like, would you wait one more week? Because there is a monster waiting for him his first week on the field as a starter, and Aaron Donald will be licking his chops, man, chasing him around Miami. What do you make of the move, and how do you think Tua will match up against that Rams front, and specifically Aaron Donald in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, and Aaron Donald's going to be hungry because he didn't eat against the 49ers. Jimmy G came back and no sacks. So he's going to be starved for that opportunity. Look, I love Tua. I thought he was better than Burrow. I thought he was better than Herbert. And Burrow's been better than some of the quarterbacks in the NFL this year. And Herbert's been better than many of the quarterbacks in the NFL this year. And I think Tua is even more of a talent than those two. So I understand the urge to put him out there. But I don't like the timing. I just don't. One, this is a team that seems like they're finding their way. They're 3-3 and second place in that division. And their last two games, they've won for a combined score of 63-17, and including the shutout of the Jets. I know it's the Jets, but it's still a donut. It's still a shutout. And if I'm on that team, I understand why they're doing it, and I understand the talent he possesses. But what if he struggles? What if he fails? And then you're sitting there kicking yourself like, we were starting to roll with Fitzpatrick. Say what you want about this team, but their offensive line is really not that good. They're 26th ranked in terms of pass blocking. So what Fitzpatrick's been able to do is be a veteran and be savvy in the pocket and only been sacked 10 times in those six games. But you put a rookie out there who may be a deer in headlights for a minute, and all of a sudden you expose what their offensive line has in terms of its pass blocking issues. So just the timing to be in a winning culture, and then coach tells you, hey, we've been winning, but it's time to put in the guy that we think we can win even more with. And I'm just the guy that sits there and says, flip that coin over, coach. What if we don't? What have you done to our season? So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to adversity, especially if Tua starts slow.
Yeah, big time. Great stuff, buddy, as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Take care up there.
You got it. Marcellus Wiley from FS1.